Okay. Commissioner Benz, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Please stand, place your hand over your heart, and follow me in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before I do the roll, would everyone kindly turn off their cell phones, please? Be appreciated. Annette, could we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colmarino?
Present.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Here.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Here.
And Chairperson Jack?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. At this time, we'll entertain any public comment on any item that can come before this commission, but it is not on the agenda for this evening. So if you...
Mr. Chairman, yes. Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
I already approved. roll call, please.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colmarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
And Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. My apologies for skipping that. Now we're at the opportunity for public comment on anything that might come before this commission that it would have jurisdiction over, that is not on tonight's agenda with the limit of 3 minutes. So there's... Okay, is there any Planning Commission business? Okay.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Who made the second?
Commissioner Benz.
Okay. Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colmarino?
I'll abstain because of the minutes for a meeting I was not in attendance at.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
And Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0 with one abstention.
Thank you. That takes us to the public hearing that we have tonight. And before we do the ex parte, I think I'll have staff make a presentation, and this is relative to the reconsideration, an amendment of project conditions number 7 of tentative tract map 2003-0029 on Encino Road. Director Frace?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item tonight is a reconsideration. This is an item that's been before the Commission and Council before. I'd like to introduce Mimi Whitney. She is our contract senior planner. She's going to be making the presentation tonight, and then both Mimi and I will be available for any questions or comments.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to serve the Commission. This item that is on your agenda tonight is the second reconsideration. However, the reconsideration is limited to one item, and that's the amendment of condition number 7. This was imposed by the Planning Commission in 2006, and it required a tree mitigation fee in the amount of $18,233, consistent with a native tree ordinance. Originally, the City Council approved the tract map in 2003, and it included a condition for tree preservation easements. The map expired in November of 2005 while the applicant was in process of completing the project required. This map shows the general location of the private tree conservation easements, which I believe the applicant did record in 2004. The tentative tract map was approved by the City Council in 2003. It allowed for the lot line adjustment of 6 existing colony lots, and it was done in order to minimize grading, tree removal, and avoid crossing a Blue Line Creek. No new lots were formed. The project map has not changed significantly since it was initially approved by the council. The applicant is requesting the tree mitigation fees, as previously mentioned. This shows the reorganized colony lots. Oops. Later. Okay. The applicant has completed the Encino Road project improvements, as you can see here, including this retaining wall, which was put in place in order to preserve some of these trees up here. The original approval did remove 133 native trees. The discrepancies between the tree protection plan and an inventory of trees identified during construction was brought to the city's attention. The city recommended that, or required that, an arborist reconcile the discrepancies, which did occur. The tree reconciliation report identified 12 trees that had been removed, and the applicant paid $1,108 in penalty. The tree ordinance, just to clarify, does allow the commission discretion. You can choose one or more of the following. You can either ask for replacement trees, ask for payment of fee, and or ask for conservation easements. Remember, initially the City Council decided that the conservation easements that the applicant was proposing would be sufficient. The mitigated negative declaration was certified by the City Council in 2003. The tree mitigation fee was not originally imposed, as the applicant proposed the tree preservation easement. So the mitigation fee that the applicant is asking you to consider, that was imposed by the Planning Commission, was not a condition of approval and not part of the CEQA mitigation. The previously approved tract map will not expire now until November 25th, 2011, so no time extensions are needed. The site work and improved request to remove the tree impact fee is shown in your attachments as A, and a denial is shown in your attachments as B. The commission may approve the reconsideration with additional or revised project conditions, similar to what the Planning Commission did in 2006, with the appropriate findings, using draft resolution A, attachment 9, and specify the additions or revisions in a motion, should you choose to do that. The commission may refer the item back to staff for additional analysis. So at this point, this concludes staff presentation. If the commission has questions, Mr. Fraze and I are here to answer them.
Thank you very much, and welcome. Are there any questions of staff? Before we get into any questions, let's start from my left and work to the right on any ex parte.
Yes, there is. This afternoon I went up to look at the site. It's very hard to find, by the way, and while I was trying to identify it, one of the local neighbors, a man named Lee Swarm, sort of helped me, thought I was lost, and pointed out where the site was. And we chatted for a short period of time, and that was about it.
I went by this, I went by the site yesterday. I didn't speak to anybody there.
I visited the site today at the same time that Commissioner Ward was there, and spoke with the Lee Swan also, who is a local homeowner in the area.
I visited the site on Sunday, and also several months ago, Don Messer called me about the project. And I suggested to him that if he had a problem with it, that the appropriate place to discuss that project or that problem was to bring it back to the Planning Commission. Other than that, I talked to him on the phone. I did not talk to him in person, and I did not talk to anyone at the site.
Visited the site today, but no ex parte.
Is that we are here to accomplish this evening, just so that there's a clear understanding of what we can deal with and what we are not going to be able to deal with.
Yes, the item that's noticed tonight for discussion is just condition number 7. So condition number 7 was the condition that required tree mitigation for this project in the form of a fee paid to the city of $18,233. So that is the condition that the applicant is requesting reconsideration of tonight by the council or the commission. So the commission's job tonight is to consider that request and then make a determination. We've given you basically a resolution to approve it or to deny it. Your alternative actions would be to approve it with some sort of change, which could be a modification potentially to the fee or some other factor. And your fourth option would be just to send it back to staff for additional analysis if you feel that's necessary at this point.
Very good. Thank you kindly. Now, are there any commissioners that have any questions? Commissioner Calamarino?
Thank you. My first question has to do with the amount that was ordered to be paid by the Planning Commission, I guess almost 3 years ago now. I take it that money has not yet been paid. Is that correct?
Correct.
That is correct.
And is there some reason why a decision rendered 3 years ago to pay the money has still not been implemented?
Yes, it has to do with the timing of this project, which is rather unique. Our standard procedure is that tree mitigation fees are required to be paid before permits are issued. This project's a little bit different in that it was originally approved in 2003. Permits for construction were issued in 2004. At that time, the only condition for mitigation on this project was recordation of the tree preservation easements. That did occur. Then construction moved forward, the trees were removed, the roads were built. As the applicant was getting closer to finishing the project, he became aware that the map technically had expired because of a lack of a time extension. At that point, we had to bring it back to the commission for reconsideration. At that reconsideration hearing in 2006, the commission then required the $18,233 in tree mitigation fees. But at that point, the permits of minor corrections that Public Works wanted in terms of signage and some drainage improvements and things like that. But for the most part, the majority of the construction was already done.
Now, the next thing I want to inquire about, which puzzles me, is why an applicant is able to come and ask for a reconsideration of a prior Planning Commission decision without making some showing that there has been a change in circumstance, whether that some facts were overlooked the first time, that some legal provision was overlooked the first time. Is an applicant free simply to come back to the Planning Commission asking that the Planning Commission reconsider a decision that it made because the applicant doesn't like the decision or because he hopes that there's been a change of composition on the Planning Commission or a change of heart?
Well, this is somewhat of a unique circumstance here, but we commonly do process amendments to projects. Typically, though, we see them in changes to site plans, changes to architectures, changes to use. So best example probably would be the Home Depot Shopping Center. I think that's come back to the Planning Commission 4 or 5 times for amendments. So our code is fairly liberal in allowing applicants or owners to petition for changes to maps and use permits as they see fit. This case is a little unique in that we're just talking about one condition that the applicant disagrees with, but the code is very liberal or broad in its allowance for the applicant to apply for amendments. There's no restrictions on what they can apply for, so this was requested, and under our code, we bring it forward to the commission.
But just so the record's clear, There is no amendment to the applicant's plan that's being processed here or being proposed. It's only a change in a condition of approval that's being requested, and that condition of approval was imposed by the Planning Commission.
That is
right?
Correct.
Now, the provision in the ordinance that allows for conservation easements, which will restrict removal of any tree within a designated area, that allows, in effect, the council or the commission, whoever is considering the matter, to dispense with imposing any tree mitigation fee.
Council originally decided that the conservation easement was all that was necessary, so that was the original 2003 decision. Then in 2006, when it came back to the commission but not to the council, the decision was made that both the payment of the fee and the easement were required. So, but both are technically consistent with the code, and that's why we're not making a recommendation one way or the other. The commission does have the discretion to pick one or more as they see fit.
That's all that I have.
Okay. Vice Chair Moreno?
Thank you.
No, I'll come back to you.
Okay. Director Frace, in 2006, the only thing that triggered coming before the commission was the expiring of the map, and so needing to come back. There were no changes at that time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so what was the rationale for needing the $18,000 in fees in addition to the conservation easement? So if the council in 2003 approved, you know, here's what's required, here's what's in the ordinance, and as you said, it, you know, there's some different options there. But if it's approved in 03 and nothing substantial, at least that I see in the staff report or that I've heard tonight, has changed between 03 and 06, what was the cause or the rationale, the reasoning behind the additional fees?
Well, I don't know exactly what the rationale was. I'm not sure if the commission had explained exactly their purpose in applying that. Although, if you go back to the original 2003 commission hearing, the commission at that point did recommend both the payment of the fee and the easement. So the 2006 commission was still acting consistent with what the 2003 commission had recommended to the council, although it wasn't what the council ended up adopting.
Okay, so the council and the commission disagreed.
Well, the council had the final say, and they decided that it wasn't necessary.
That's what I'm getting at. Thank you.
Nothing's changed. Commissioner Benz?
Yes, this question is for staff. Would you describe the difference between a preservation easement and mitigation fees?
Yes. Preservation easements are recorded areas on a property that protection that's not afforded to any other tree in a single family area. The tree mitigation fees are fees that are paid into an account that the city keeps for the purpose of replanting native trees in other locations throughout the town. So they will not be spent on that site or likely even within that neighborhood. They're likely used to plant trees somewhere else where there's an open space or an area where we can actually get the rights to plant trees. Most of the trees that have been planted to date with that fund are either along Atascadero Creek or the Salinas River, where we have open space areas where we can plant trees.
Okay. So then, from what you've told me, am I correct in stating that if we just applied the mitigation fees to the six lots, once they were sold as homes, then the homeowners could do what they wished with the trees that are on those lots. Then the advantage of the easement would be, if you only had the easement, would be that those trees are forever protected in the easement. And that's the difference between the two.
That's correct.
Yes. Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes, Director Frace. I just had a question. Did you say the tree conservation easements have been recorded? So those are done and mapped and finished, or?
Yes, they were recorded in 2004.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes, and bear with me. I have several questions I'd like to go over. How much money is in the tree replacement fund at this point? Do you know?
Between $300,000 and $400,000.
And do you see a point in the future where that amount of money will be used?
It's being used right now on an annual basis. Staff's been working with ANTA for the last 3 or 4 years on a planting program. We're spending probably about $50,000 a year on replanting programs and maintenance and watering of these trees. Like I said, I think we have 4 planting areas right now, 2 along Atascadero Creek, 1 at Paloma Park, and 1 at Heilman Grove along the Salinas River.
Okay, thank you. Can the tree replacement fund's money be transferred to other accounts, or could they be used to leverage loans for other accounts?
No.
Has anyone ever challenged our native tree ordinance in terms of its composition, especially?
It seems, and I'm looking at some of the minutes, it seems like they were trying to be consistent with the original 2003 action and what had been recommended at that time.
Okay, but and I'm a little bit bothered by the use of the words mitigation fee. From what I understand, it's not a mitigation fee. It's a condition of approval. The conservation easement itself was a mitigation that was rolled into the neg deck that was certified by the Planning Commission, by the City Council. And when this item came to the Planning Commission in 2006, they did not reopen up the neg deck, and they did not add a mitigation in that document that says pay $18,000 of in-lieu fee, correct?
Correct. This project continues to be under the 2003 mitigated negative declaration, which was certified by the City Council, and the City Council at that point, when they certified, determined that the tree protection easements were the only necessary mitigation for tree removals. So when the commission in 2006 added the tree mitigation fees or the replacement fund fees, maybe to help clarify the issue a little bit, those were added as a condition of approval to the map, but they're not a mitigation under CEQA. So, because sometimes that can be confusing, and that's another procedure if you amend a mitigated negative declaration, and that's not what's before us tonight. It's just a condition of approval. It's independent of the CEQA documents requirements for mitigation measures. So we're just talking about a condition of approval that can be added or deleted.
And for example, if we as a commission tonight wanted to talk about another item, we would have to continue the hearing and advertise that fact that we want to discuss condition 10 or 19 or whatever beyond what is being discussed tonight. But it's something that could be done if we wanted to, correct?
Technically, yes, you could open it up to additional items, but you're not noticed for that tonight, so that would have to be at a separate hearing. All you're noticed for tonight is condition 7.
So for my understanding of what I've reviewed and what you're saying now, that the 2006 commission didn't require the fees as a mitigation. They couldn't because they didn't open up the EIR at that point of the neg deck, and so it was just added as a condition of approval. As much as we can remove it tonight, I mean, we have that same authority that they had in 2006 to add something with respect to this area. We could,
I don't want to get into too much detail about the lawsuit just because I don't have all the facts before me and there's a lot of other issues involved in it, but it was brought because there was concern about issues and site impacts, which did include tree removals and procedures. Ultimately, both parties settled that case.
That was related to the extension of Encino, though, for circulation reasons.
I think the extension of Encino, the grading and tree removals related to that was the precipitating factor in the lawsuit.
So, again, kind of going back, as far as the 2006 approval went, we're unaware of any, there is no rationale that we know of that says why the commission added it. We know that there are, at least I believe that there are no specific findings that were stated as to why the conditions were added. And then again, we know that it's not a mitigation fee, it's just an in-lieu fee, and that the actual mitigation is the conservation easement.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes, Director Frase. In the in our staff report, in the native trees section here on page 12, there's a statement that says a tree reconciliation report identified 12 trees that had been removed for which the applicant paid $1,108 in mitigation fees plus a penalty fee. And I was curious, when was that $1,108 paid? And it was this at the 2006, prior to 2006, or was it, when was that?
That all happened in 2005, so that would have been prior to the Planning Commission reconsideration.
Okay, so the City Council in 2003 put the easement in as a mitigation measure, and then in 2005 there was this fee paid for trees being removed, and then 2006 the Planning Commission came back to the Planning Commission. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Ward.
Yes, thank you. As I've read this, one question came up. Is it a common practice of the city to require a builder to have a double hit, so to speak, on a tree removal situation? Because that's what it looks like here, and I think it's blatantly unfair. Now that's just in my reading, but I'm wondering how many of these type of situations have come up again before either City Council.
Woodridge Project both have open space easements and both paid tree mitigation fees. So I know just off the top of my head those two did. And I believe there's probably, you know, a handful of others that have probably done similar, where they've had some tree fees and some open space or easement requirements as well.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes, Director Frase. One other question. Two of the commissioners have made a comment as to if there was something that may have changed or occurred at the 2006 Planning Commission meeting to have them impose this fee as well. And I was reading through this report today, and I noticed under the CEQA section on page 12, there was a comment that right after it said the tree mitigation fee was not imposed to the City Council with the original project because the applicant proposed an extensive tree protection plan. The next sentence says, however, the Planning Commission subsequently imposed the fee as mitigation due to the loss of some trees and the need for replacement trees. And I'm wondering, is that part of the reasoning as to why the fees are imposed?
Well, all we really have is the minutes from that meeting. And the commission, the only thing we have in the record is one of the commissioners alluded to the fact that originally in 2003, the mitigation fees had been required, so they felt that was a reason to reinstate the fees. There had been a lot of community and neighborhood concern about this project. There had been a lawsuit. There had been a lot of talk about the tree issue. So this was a fairly controversial and sore subject when it came back before the Planning Commission. So all of those factors probably somehow contributed to the commission's decision to also include that fee.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, then what I'd like to do next is open it up to the applicant for any statement from the applicant.
There, I got a light now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my name is Don Messer. I live at 5425 Ardilla Road. I thank you very much for had a chance to go up on Encino Road. I heard some of you say you did, that you were able to see the walls that we built and how many trees we saved. The wall that they show in the picture, the big wall, was built, was required after the project went through several different hearing processes. Some of the neighbors, most of the neighbors didn't want the road at all, and I didn't want to build a road, of course. Actually, our project, Jerry Clay asked the fire chief if our project required Encino Road to be built through, and he said no. The reason I was required to build is because I had six lots, which made me a track map. Ironically, the fact that I tried to do a lot line adjustment, which I did do, to create better building sites and save trees on three of the parcels, it got me into this mess. Otherwise, I could have developed the six lots separately, and they wouldn't have had this problem. But we still felt it was a thing to do, and after the fire chief gave his presentation showing the fires in Oakland and all the other areas, that he did a wonderful job showing fire trucks burned up, and I know a lot of the people that live on Encino Road. We decided, you know, in fact, I built three houses on the old Encino myself. So we felt that it was a thing to do, so we went ahead and agreed to build the road. Well, then at the last hearing, because of neighbor complaints about tree removal, the city council required that we save an additional seven trees, and that required that last 200 feet of wall, which we did. We agreed to, because at that point, you know, it's pretty hard to stop. So I think it's important, even though the mitigation is somewhat based on the tree preservation easements, it also, we felt that that we had an understanding that we spent all this money on saving trees, on building walls, that was another consideration, and that that therefore the tree preservation easements would be acceptable. And in fact, recognizing that we had spent thousands and thousands of dollars, probably $50,000 just in walls, and those saved a lot of trees. So I think that's important for you to understand that, and to remember that we had six legal lots to start with. My first plan was to access lots 24 and 25 off of Choplin, and we actually designed houses and did engineering, probably spent $20,000, and then the staff, in order to protect trees, decided that grading a big crossing on Blue Line Creek would be prohibitive, and so they required a bridge, and at that point, of course, we built the road through to, for fire access through to the old Encino, and we installed gas all the way to old Encino. If anybody wants to hook up the gas now, it's right there. So we did everything that was required of us, and we felt that we had an agreement, and we did our part, and we felt that the city should then, you know, go ahead with their original agreement to waive the tree fees. I think that covers my point of view. If there's any questions, I just hope that, you know, you will see my point of view. I think it gives us an opportunity here to send a message that the city of Atascadero is fair and responsible, and will do their part to live up to their previous agreement. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Messer. Are there any questions from any of the commissioners for Mr. Messer? Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes, Mr. Messer. When it came to the creating the tree conservation easement, what did that cost to do all that, engineering or surveying or recording and all that, those kind of things?
I really don't have that number in my head, but it was several thousand dollars. They, you know, one thing that's happened in the tree ordinance over the years, the interpretation of it or the policy that applies to it is that now we have to literally hire an engineer to go out and survey the property and mark every tree and size every tree and list every tree that's not only removed but impacted or avoided. So it adds thousands of dollars to the engineering survey cost. And if you saw that property before it was accessible, you would understand the problems. The poison oak was 10 feet high. There was places where you couldn't hardly see the trees. I mean, it was really a jungle. And so it explains some of the problems with the engineer in missing some trees. And that was one of the things that came up and caused some problems.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Commissioner Calamarino?
Mr. Messer, I take it that you were satisfied with the City Council's decision in 2003 to require the conservation easement and to dispense with the need for any fee, mitigation fees. Is that right?
That's right.
And then when 2006 came along, you found yourself before the Planning Commission with the same issue up for consideration again, because what happened? Something had expired, I guess it was?
We just forgot to extend the map. I mean, the map would be I understand it's an automatic extension, but I thought the engineer was going to do it, and he thought I was going to do it. So we made a mistake.
Now, between 2003 and the time you went, the City Council's decision in 2003 and the time you went back before the Planning Commission in November 2006, had anything happened? Had you removed any trees without authorization or without prior notification or anything like that?
No, I don't think that anything happened after the map expired. In fact, I built two houses on the original lot, 15 and 19, and they're still there. I still own them, actually, because I couldn't sell them.
So when the Planning Commission then decided in 2006 that you should pay mitigation fees, what was your understanding of the reason for that decision?
I didn't understand it. I thought we had an agreement. I didn't believe it was right, that's for sure.
So obviously you felt aggrieved by that decision immediately, right?
Well, yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Why didn't you pursue reconsideration of that decision more promptly at that time? Why did you wait almost 3 years to come back before the Planning Commission to raise this issue again?
Well, to be honest, I didn't know I could. And then I got to talking to Warren and asked him if that was possible, and he said, yeah. So I didn't know that. I would have done it right away. But.
And when did you find out that you could?
Probably 6 months ago.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Moreno?
Mr. Messer, you mentioned the 200 feet of wall that saved an additional 7 trees, and I was wondering how many, the entire wall, how many trees, what was the count in terms of that was saving overall?
How many trees were saved by the 6-foot wall? There were 7 trees, actually. And those trees were all within the original city right-of-way, the original Encino right-of-way. We actually moved the road away from the right-of-way in order to save trees to begin with, because that was, we knew that was going to be an issue, and we tried all we could to save trees.
So the 7 were the additional, but there were more than just the 7 saved by the wall. Is that correct? Because what you said is you'd built the wall, and then it was that it needed to be extended further to save 7 more trees. That's what I heard. Am I incorrect in that?
Well, yes, there were walls built already with the original plan approval and through staff review. When you start up the road from Atajo, there is a wall on the lower side and walls on the upper side. Those were all part of the original plan to save trees to begin with as part of the staff review. The project went through the staff recommendation for approval without the last 200 or 180 feet of walls, and it was because of the neighbor concerns that the City Council felt it was a fair compromise to ask me to save 7 more trees. Well, to save 7 more trees, you got to build 180 feet of wall. So that's really what it was all about.
And so I was curious, and Director, maybe this is a question for you. Prior to the end of the wall being completed, that additional 180 feet, how many trees were estimated to be saved by the initial building of retaining walls?
I'd have to think about it. The one on the corner saved about 6, one real big tree. And the ones down below the road, I would say there were several small trees. There were probably a dozen trees in there.
So maybe a dozen and a half plus the 7, so we're looking at right around 20-ish. Yeah,
about 20 trees, I would say, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes. When I went out there today and I looked over the whole property, I made an assumption. I assumed that the original property had more trees than what was shown today. So I assume somebody went in and did some clearing, took some trees out in order to allow other trees to be able to continue to live, called clearing out the land so that the sun is what makes the trees grow. And when you allow the sun's light to get to the trees, then they grow and are healthy. So sometimes there's a clearing that needs to be done. That was a forest up there at
yes,
one
it was.
Point in time. And so a clearing does have a good purpose in that it helps save existing trees. And I was wondering if any clearing happened up there. It appeared to me that it did.
We didn't do any clearing. I doubt it, frankly, because the property was inaccessible. There were a lot of trees that fell. In fact, we had saved one tree on one of the houses I built, Lot 19, and the tree was leaning way over looking for sunshine, and it started to fall. Part of it fell, and it was headed for the house, so we had to get an emergency approval to remove it. And in fact is we tried too hard to save a tree, and a lot of the trees in that area, especially on the downside where it's in the shade, you know, you can have trees going this way and this way trying to look for sunshine. And no, we didn't do any clearing, and I'm sure the owners didn't because they haven't been around for years. But there were a lot of dead trees when we went to clear it out. That was one of the problems, you know.
Well, did you clear out dead trees?
Well, yeah, we did. And okay. As a matter of fact, we did a lot of work in there. Another thing that you mentioned, there was probably a lot of trees in there. Most of the trees that came out were for the road. And
yes.
For the extended fire road, I figured it was about 40 additional trees, some of them really big trees. That's one of the reasons the neighbors were upset. They were naturally upset about the removal of trees, but they were more upset about the road being built because they didn't want it. They didn't want the through traffic. I believe now that they realize that there's no through traffic, nobody uses it except them, that they probably are glad to have it. But that was a complaint. I mean, I know some of those people. I've known them for years, and they apologize for opposing the project, but they just didn't want a new road going through their yard.
Do you have any idea how many trees you took out because of the road as opposed to how many trees you took out because of the homes being built?
Well, most of them are in the road. Actually, there are still some trees up there that we haven't taken out for future homes, but I would say probably 80% of the trees were for the road.
Because, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes. Did you offer the realigned road to the city on the map of the on the map face? You mentioned that you realigned Encino from its originally platted alignment, and I'm sure that the new alignment was offered to the city at some point.
Well, we did, in fact, move the road outside of the original alignment in order to avoid trees. The property owner, my partner, had enough land that he could spare that, and we just moved the road over, in some cases, 10 or 15 feet. And that was we could do that because it's not a city-accepted road, for one thing, and of course the staff was in favor of it, that you know they wanted us to save the trees. It was an advantage that we had owning the property on the downside. We could move the road over.
I guess that was where I was getting at. The city didn't accept the road, or it's not a city-maintained road. So who's responsible for maintaining the walls and the road condition itself?
Well, the city required a deed restriction on the property that the property owners agree to maintain their proportionate share of the road.
All the property owners?
Yeah, the six lots. It's a pretty big bite, really. I didn't want to put that on there, but there was no choice, apparently.
And then the areas that are beyond the six properties, who takes care of that?
I'm not sure which area you mean.
Encino Road extends beyond the six lots.
Yeah.
And so that area out there, is that maintained by the adjacent property owners, or is that maintained by the six lots?
No, the original Encino Road has had a somewhat a gentleman's unwritten agreement that they would all maintain the road, and they've done a very good job. Yeah. I know several of the people, and the people that bought our homes also have participated. So our situation would be the same. It's not a city-maintained road. Neither is Choplin Road, although it was built under the county. It just, when we, just before we incorporated, and it just got lost in the shuffle, and nobody ever knew what happened. I didn't realize it hadn't been accepted for 20 years.
Mm. But the walls themselves, they're going to be by the six lots as they need to be repaired. I'm sure there's a somewhat of a homeowner's document that set up a budget that's taking in money over a period of time and a life of a wall they might, you know, might project out for 30 years or something. And so at the end of that period, there'll be a lump sum of money collected to help with those walls. You?
Well, it isn't set up that way. It's set up that the owners agree to pay their fair share when the time comes, okay, and subject to what the city requires.
Okay.
So
thank
it's
you.
It's in the hands of the city. The public works will undoubtedly, you know, have to check it out once in a while.
Okay.
But okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Benz, I mean Sturdivant.
Yes, one other question on the in our report it says that there's 133 native trees that were designated for removal. Do you know if anything has been anything removed besides with the trees that were designated to be removed? If any other trees in addition have been taken out?
No, there was a problem to start with where some trees had not been properly tagged. As I said, it was, you know, totally covered with poison oak and pilot error. In fact, there's a letter in your report from Ken Wilson explaining that, and they were like 98% accurate. But as soon as we found those, why we reported it, and I mean, it was reported by a neighbor, but we agreed and went out there and found the mistake, and that's why I paid $1,000 for, maybe Ken Wilson should have paid, but you know, he's done my work for 20 years and a lot of other people in town, and we've always trusted him, and they're very honest, good people. So that was just an honest mistake.
So the only trees that have been removed have been trees that were designated to be removed at this point?
Oh, yeah, the ones that we took out that hadn't been, that were off the map, that were some of them, according to Ken, you know, we started this project, as I said, has been going on for well over 10 years, and the trees were surveyed, and nobody ever thought that they're going to grow, you know, they never even dawned on us, but some of the trees just grew. But at any rate, no, there had been no other trees taken out, and the trees that we did take out were within the driveway or the roadway. We had no choice. They had to come out.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Messer.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Let me turn this off.
Oh, just leave it on, please. I'm sure someone else will be up there. Okay, then I'd like to open it up to the public for comment. Is Mr. Marchand, is he present? Yes, we do have a copy of your letter.
I know you have copies. I'm going to read fast because I'm going to try to make the 3 minutes, so bear with me and you can read it.
Just highlight it.
My name is Chris Marchand. I own vacant land in Atascadero. I work as a social worker at the California Men's Colony, and I grew up in Atascadero and graduated from Atascadero High School. I wanted to come here tonight and give my input regarding Mr. Messer's request of his payment for having so many native trees cut down, eliminated, or reduced, because I think it's such an outrageous request. First of all, it's after the fact, and in my opinion, it's attempting to go back in both his written word and his verbal word with the city of Atascadero, and therefore with everyone who resides in Atascadero or has property in it. Who does it help if he pays the full amount? It helps the fund for native trees, it helps the environment, and it helps all of us. Who does it hurt if he pays the full amount? Obviously, it hurts only him. And regarding that, I think you can make the argument that in the larger sense, it could even help Mr. Messer, because it would remind him that a deal's a deal and that one's word should be one's bond. So there you have the scale of it. Asking a man to keep his word, to pay the full amount for actions that he is solely responsible for, actions that he put into place so that he could make money building houses, and in having him keep his word, adding money to the funds that benefits everyone, or allowing him to pay less, benefiting only himself to the detriment of the rest of us. I don't think you need to look any further than at this decision tree to make the right decision, the ethical decision, and deny his request. But to further empower those of you here tonight to make what I so firmly believe is the right decision, I wish all of you could have seen that mountain of cut down oak trees that have been assembled in a pile, formerly beautiful 100-year-plus oak trees. And I wish you could see what is now in their place, empty lots in many cases, since, as we all know, the real estate market has changed. In hindsight, Mr. Messer's cutting down those trees benefited no one. In hindsight, it hurt us all. I think it is really important for the board to remember how important the appearance of fairness is. To be fair is, of course, very important, but to appear to be fair is also extremely important. Here you have a man, a general contractor, who has built many houses in Atascadero and has a long history of a working relationship with the Planning Commission that the average citizen doesn't have. If you allow him to pay less or not at all, I believe it will add to the perception that there are two sets of rules, one for regular citizens and one for those who arguably have a closer working relationship with the powers that be. As I mentioned earlier, I own property in Atascadero, and about 8 years ago, when there's a tree on my property that needed to be cut down, I hired an arborist, a retired professor from Cal Poly, to do a study justifying this. It was a sick tree, and I paid him $200. I then filled out the form that the city gave me, and when I was notified in writing that I had to pay $300 to the Native Tree Fund to have it cut down, I paid it. And you know, I was glad to pay the fund. I was glad because I knew it was the right thing to do. I hope you guys do the right thing tonight, too. All right. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to address the commission?
Good day. My name is Elizabeth Robra, and I live at 5305 Portola. If you see that very little wedgy lot, I'm the lot down below. And I think in your little plans, it's a shaded area. I was living in this house when this whole thing started. And I think the thing to remember about the tree mitigation fee is we're trying to save trees. Not just trees. You count them, you say 12 here, 10 there. What we're really trying to save is the big trees. You know, the fantastic oaks that everybody looks at and says, oh, that's a Atascadero. I have one of those trees on my property. It's actually a registered oak. It's called the Wonder Tree. And there were some really beautiful oaks on this property. That little wedge lot, if you go up Encino, you see something that looks like a gravel pit. Well, about 2000, when I bought that when I was first started living in that house, it had a very large, gorgeous oak tree. It completely covered the view. You know, I can see through the trees now because all the trees in that wedge lot are on the property line. There's a few little scrubby trees, you know, 10-year-old trees. But most of them are just on the property line. Okay. So we have lost a lot. I know that somebody asked, you know, do we need the money for tree preservation? But the real thing is, do we want to continue with the intent of the law, which is, I think, what Marge Mackey first had envisioned with that, that if you cut down trees, it's for a real purpose, and you're willing to put down your money for it. And I don't think that's happening here. You know, the trees were cut. We have gravel. It's not an improvement. And I think if that, you know, if people realize that it costs money to take down trees, they will think twice about it. And I think we should continue that policy, even though it does cost money. Thanks so much.
My name is Celia Bewley. I'm a lifelong resident of Atascadero, and I live at 5530 Encino Avenue. And I would like to thank you, planning commissioners and members of the planning department, for the service you give this community, and thank you for allowing me to speak. And for every story, there are two sides, and I do respect Mr. Messer's side, and I just want to give you another side. My husband and I built our home on the edge of an oak forest, and yeah, it was a forest. We hand dug our foundation so that we would minimize the impact and cause the least amount of destruction to our beautiful hillside. We did remove one tree and planted six more, three interior live oaks and three valley oaks. It was under the county before there was a tree ordinance, but that's what we did. It's an understatement to say that we were distressed, and Mr. Messer, you know, we've talked about it, so he knows we were distressed, as he was, at the prospect of losing the oak forest. adjacent to our property. Hundreds of trees. Well, I was surprised to see the 120. I thought it was actually hundreds of trees, so I stand corrected. But they were cut down, including blue oaks, live oaks, and valley oaks, some of them heritage oaks, looming tall with diameters well over 3 feet, or it seemed like that to me. However, he submitted his plans and went through all those procedures, and we respectfully acquiesced, and those are the rules. But it seems to me that at least at one planning commission, it was also the rules that he would pay those fees. And I didn't think of it as a double hit because actually I thought it was generously assessed when it was interpreted that there were no significant impacts. It was just, I don't know what the term was, minimal impacts. And so I thought, well, you know, that was a generous assessment. I would have said that it was a huge impact to, you know, cut down the forest. There are still trees there, but it's a very different site. And I would hope that maybe you would agree with the previous planning commission and uphold the tree ordinance and the mitigation fee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bewley. Anyone else?
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Cindy Sager. I live at 5575 Alamonde Lane. And if we could please go back to the map that literally shows the tree reservation easements. Right there. Okay. The lot at the very top, it's got a point there, and it's to your left. That lot shows a rather large easement, but I'd like to point out that's lot 27. That was not a part of this project, and there's a very large portion of the easement there that is actually on that lot, and that is from an entirely different project. So when you're looking at these easements, that is a bit misleading that easement would be included. What I would like to point out, situations that occurred at the first and second planning commission meetings, was the first meeting, it was determined that these easements were not going to be considered as mitigation because of the substantial impacts. There were 132 trees in those easements that were going to be impacted. Now, I believe we had 320-something trees. We had over 130 coming out. We had 133 being impacted. And that is why the original meeting, the Planning Commission imposed the $18,000. And if you look at the conditions, you're going to notice in there, it's highlighted in blue, that they felt they might have to come back and even assess some additional fees later because the impacts were considered to be that grave. Now, yes, the City Council did listen to Mr. Mess's concerns about the road. And if you look back at those minutes and those reports, you're going to find that it was reported at that time that there were only 29 trees that were going to be removed from the road. Now, Mr. Mess is probably talking about the entire road. I'm talking about the portion of the fire road that he was being forced to build. That only had 29 trees, or it was reported as 29 trees. So that would not be 80% of the project. But the largest concern and the biggest change occurred when the tree map was found to be inaccurate. That was determined after half the trees were removed from the project already. And I have a problem accepting that it was a mistake. And the Planning Commission had a problem accepting it was a mistake. And I think if you look back in the records, in fact, Mr. Frace can provide you with some of that information.
Ms. Sazer, could you kind of wrap it up, the red light
very
side.
Very quickly, we found over 40 additional trees that were tagged, but they were tagged with alphanumeric numbers. In other words, tree 11 which was going to be an impact. There was also tree 11A, B, C, D, never reported on the map. Removals, we found 12 removals tagged R24A, B, C, D. And so we found over 12 or 13 removals, and that's not counting the fact that half the trees were removed before we ever found them. So there were many trees for impact and removal not reported, but they were tagged and never reported on the map until we brought it forward. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Ellen Barreau. I live at 9608 Laurel Road. And the reason I came tonight is because I was on the Planning Commission at the time, and I know the minutes are pretty brief, and it is hard to get an idea of what it was like and the reasons we did things. In 2003, this was the biggest project we had ever seen with this many removals. And we were looking at the EIR report, and I had personally had a problem with it because it said it had minimal impact. And this was, if you look at that map, it was originally 100% coverage of trees. It was a very dense forest. And if you look at it now, it might be, it's hard to tell with the coloration, but maybe 30 to 50% open space now. So it's been a property that has been heavily impacted. And I was surprised that the city council at the time did throw out the $18,000 in fees. And then when it came back, it was still a very emotional issue. And that's why I wish we had television back then, because it was one of those very important meetings in Atascadero. So when it came back in 2006, it was another important meeting because people were still upset 3 years later about what happened to this property. As you got testimony from the others here, there was a lot of discrepancy with what the tree protection plan, which was approved in 2003, and what actually happened. And some of it could be genuine mistakes, but it was still something that was very raw and something that we felt didn't cover what happened to that property. And we felt that the 2003 Planning Commission findings were still valid, that we needed to also have him pay for the fees, which goes to restoration. And I know from being on Planning Commission and City Council that those mitigation funds are very important. They go to restoration, and we actually have a program that we didn't have before, and also goes to buying virgin land, virgin Oakland that has not been developed. And I know one thing that we considered is the tree preservation parcels. As was brought up by others, the tree preservation parcels that you see over there were impacted by development. And these are not parcels that could be developed anyway. These all have either a significant slope or are too small to do anything with. So they're not really meaningful as habitat, or they don't have any heritage oaks, which you would use for the acorns or whatever reason. In terms of, you know, the double hit, you know, line, there are many cases where Planning Commission has done a variety of different mitigations for tree removals. So I think that we need to follow the tree ordinance, and there's a reason why we have a tree ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Burrow. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Pete Rober. I'm at 5305 Portola. My property is right along the edge of this project. It's been significantly affected by the removal of the trees. We get a lot more noise from the highway and from the train coming through that we didn't used to get. A lot more sunlight striking the hill behind our house that used to be blocked by the trees, which means it's hotter in the summer. We just feel that it's a major hit on our property. I've gone and planted over 10 trees in the back to help mitigate that, but it'll take many decades before they're approaching what has been removed. So I'd like to also add that I feel that the fee is justified. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Bewley. I live at 5530 Encino Avenue. And I want to thank you for letting me speak tonight, and thank you for keeping open minds and hearing what the community has to say. And I want to say that I support keeping the tree fee because the way I remember it is the Planning Commission imposed it in 2003, and it came back again in 2006, and they opposed it again. And so I think the construction project went forward accepting that from the Planning Commission and living by those rules. And we all live by rules in the community, and that's how we work together, and we make our community the best it can be. So going back on what essentially was the Planning Commission's decision at that time, I think, is trying to change the rules. And if you change the rules for one person or a selected class or anything like that, then I don't think you're doing a good service, and this community's not treating everybody fairly. So I just want to say that I support keeping the fee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bewley. Okay, is there anyone new that would care to speak? Because we do have a question of one or two of the speakers. Commissioner Schmidt, you had a question
Of Alan, please. I've been in search of information as far as what was going on in 2006, since you're one of the members that were there present. Maybe mm-hmm. you can help me. Why didn't the commission at that time continue the item to a date certain and open up the EIR, or the neg deck, the determination, and add the $18,000 in lieu fee as a mitigation for impact?
Well, it wasn't suggested by staff to do that, and the fees come from the tree ordinance, and oftentimes in CEQA documents they will refer to our city ordinance, and so I don't think it was necessary. It didn't come up as something we had to do, since it had been an original condition of approval. So the language was there to get reinserted. It didn't come out of the blue like we were mad and we wanted to get back at them or something.
Well, from all the statements that are being made, it sounds like the, at least according to the neighbors and the people who are concerned, that there's a significant impact that was going to result from the removal of the trees. And from my perspective, it seems like if you get that into the CEQA document, then it holds strength. You make findings, you have a discussion, you have something that's substantial evidence that supports what's going on. As it was done by the commission, again, there's not even a finding that addresses why the fee was included. And so I'm concerned about that. I'm also just kind of just to make a statement, and you were talking about that the existing or some of the preservation easements are on steep slopes and couldn't be developed. And from my experience, I know that those steep slopes carry the blue oak. And if you're interested in preserving blue oak, which many people are, the only place that they grow are on those certain slopes that are facing to the north. And so if we discount that as a viable and a prime area for conservation, then we're going to throw out preservation of the blue oak, which is a critical habitat, as we all know.
In response to that, on a lot of, and you guys see a lot of these tree impacts, usually when there is a conservation or part of the property that's being conserved, it's a part that's not impacted by the development itself. So whatever you know, a habitat for whatever animals live there remains intact. And so when you look at some of those, you see the little lines going through some of the yellow parts? Mm-hmm. Those are roads. So even those roads have slopes and, you know, so in terms of whether it's meaningful, I would say no. But, you know, we're all planning commissioners, we all have our own opinions, and none of us are really experts. But, you know, usually it's the planning staff that makes recommendations on which part of a parcel is the best to be in a conservation easement. And I believe these were proposed by the developer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's his ends.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Okay, is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Okay, seeing that, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion. Staff, I didn't catch all of the questions. Any we have that haven't been answered? I think everything was pretty much answered. Vice Chair Moreno?
It seems that some of the residents, it seems like we're agreed that there were the 12 trees and, you know, okay, that's been paid for, but then it seems that there are residents saying that there are other trees other than those 12 cut down, so something nefarious has been done, but we don't necessarily know what, or do we, or is that unsubstantiated? What are we looking at here?
Well, originally, the project was approved to have 133 trees removed, which is a significant number of trees. As the tree removal was going along, we were notified by the neighbors that there were some trees that were tagged differently than were shown on the tree removal plans. And at that point, we started an investigation. We determined that the numbers weren't adding up. And at that point, we had a independent arborist working for the city, paid for by the developer, come out and do a re-inventory.
Reconciliation, right.
Reconciliation. That's where we found the additional trees. So it's the additional trees, I think it's 12 plus the 133, so that gives you, I guess, 145, which would have been the total approved removals. And then I think there was one additional tree that had to come out that Mr. Messer talked about that was approved by the commission in 2006 that was also subject to recommendations. And then there was another tree that was down in the residential area where he had built a house that was severely damaged in a storm that had to come out as an emergency removal because it was going to fall on the house.
Okay. So other than that, because the impression I was getting is that there's some other things going on that weren't reported.
I think what that was alluding to was the issue where some trees that were discovered that hadn't been identified correctly in the original 133, and I think we're all in agreement
that they've been identified.
Problem,
we've got the report from Wilson.
But that was fixed.
Okay. And then Ms. Sodger said something about the easements, and I wasn't quite following, and possibly you wrote that down and were something about the large easement had isn't related to this, or I wasn't following what her, if you could maybe clarify.
That was on that top lot.
Yeah, what's shown on the screen there, the red boundary line is the boundary of the subdivision map. Mm-hmm. So all those yellow areas are the recorded easements. They mm-hmm. all are located within the project area, which is a subdivision map.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioners?
Chairperson Jack?
Commissioner Schmidt?
You know, I happen to make a copy of the assessor's maps, and I just want to point out it, on that the previous exhibit that you had with the red line, on this assessor's map, what is being designated as assessor's parcel 7, which is where that upper to the right-hand side top where that angle point is right there, that's the same parcel. They show on the assessor's map there is a trees conservation easement over a portion of that older lot in that area. So I think that might have been what the neighbor might have been referring to. I'm not sure. But it clearly shows on this assessor's map that there's an existing, or there's a oak tree, there's a tree easement there, conservation easement there, and it's showing the old alignment of the parcels, not the new.
Yeah, and that isn't part of the project. That is a previous project area.
It looks like it's part of the area that I'm looking at. Can I bring this to you and show you?
Certainly.
Yeah. I just gave it to him. I have the same parcel map.
Yeah, and that area is not shown in yellow on the screen.
Okay. Thank you.
I think over the years I've found Director Frace to be quite accurate on some of this stuff.
That's what I see.
Yeah, no, I understand. And a fair question. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Benz?
Yes. I had you explain the difference between the preservation easement and or mitigation fees, and as I understand it, the tree preservation easement is forever, and the impact fees are one-time fees. I think the best protection is in the easement. It's there forever, whereas if it was just tree mitigation fees, the individual homeowners, once they took possession of the property, could do anything that they wanted to with those trees, regardless of our tree ordinance. So I think it's a better protection plan, and I also believe that it's unnecessary to levy additional fees of $18,000. That adds, on an average, $3,000 to the assessed value of the property. In less than 35 years, that $18,000 will appear as $36,000 on the assessor's roll. And the people that pay that price are the people that buy that house. Not anyone sitting here is going to pay that fee themselves. So I think, from my standpoint, I think there's... The better plan is to keep it with the tree preservation easements and drop the fees. Thank you.
Mr. Colomarino?
Yes, thank you. I'm very troubled by this application. I think that it really goes to the integrity of this tribunal, first of all. We're being asked to reverse a decision of the Planning Commission. One that was rendered almost 3 years ago. There are no standards that say you can make an application for reconsideration within 2 weeks, as there are in most courts. In most courts, if you try to get a court to reconsider a decision that it's made, you have to do it within 10 days, maybe, sometimes 5 days. And even if you're going to seek an appeal to another tribunal, you have only 30 days. Why is that? Well, you don't want stale claims, number one. And this is a classic example of a stale claim. We're all trying to figure out what happened in 2003, first of all, in the Planning Commission, then in the City Council, then 2006 in the City Council. We have people coming in and saying what they perceived at the time. There was a controversy. There was a lot going on. And here we are now, these many years later, and we're being asked to substitute our judgment for a judgment that was made by our predecessors in the context of all of what was taking place at the time. If we do that, if we start to second-guess the decisions of the Planning Commission from before, where does it end? What about somebody who was aggrieved by a decision made in 2007 or just last year? Why can't they come back to us and say, well, this has to be reconsidered? We didn't like the decision, so that guy didn't like it, and you reconsidered and you gave him a break. Give us a break, too. Where does it end? We need to have some principles. We don't have principles here that are governing us except what we decide to impose. And I think we have to say right now, sorry, we're not in a position to reverse a decision of the Planning Commission of 3 years ago. If the City Council wants to do that, well, maybe they choose to do that in their political capacity. But I think we're risking the integrity of this institution. That's the first concern. Then the second one is there is this ordinance, and the applicant is saying he doesn't want to abide by it. The Planning Commission said he should. The public is very well aware of the need to pay for the removal of trees. And by the way, the public is very well aware of this proceeding. It was publicized well in advance. There was a Tribune article talking about it coming up. There was an Atascadero News article talking about it on the front page. So people are paying attention to what we're doing here. And we're being asked, first, to reverse a decision by the Planning Commission of almost 3 years ago, and second, to waive the application of fees for removal of trees that pretty much everybody in this community is aware of. Now, if we're going to do that, I think we better know we have good reason, good grounds. We better lay it out. And frankly, I haven't heard a good rationale put forward. I read the materials, and I thought this was a hardship application, basically. I thought the developer was saying, this just hurts me too much, and I shouldn't have to pay it. Now it sounds a little different. He's saying that he felt he had a deal with the prior city council, and that deal was then abrogated by the Planning Commission in 2006. But why not act on that promptly? If you believe that you're right, if you have a legitimate grievance, why not go back to the people who you think did the wrong thing and say, I think you did the wrong thing. Give me a second chance for this reason and that reason. I've had to do that as a lawyer for my clients. And you have to be up front, and you have to do it, and you don't waste time. But 3 years have gone by. We now have discussions about things where we have lapsed memories. We have no documents. We have partial discussion of what took place. And I think we're greatly handicapped. We're not in a position, really, to second-guess the Planning Commission. I think we're getting on a slippery slope if we start doing that. And we're going to expose ourselves to being second-guessed in the future by subsequent planning commissions 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road who are not going to be subject to any kinds of rules. I think we should set a precedent right now and say the Planning Commission decisions are only going to be reconsidered if there is some fundamental problem, a failure to take into account pertinent facts, which maybe, or maybe newly discovered facts, or a failure to take into consideration the pertinent law. We've heard nothing like that. So for those reasons, I just don't think that this application should be granted, and I know we're going to be watched, and I think we should do the right thing for our city and for the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Vice Chair Moreno.
First of all, the applicant does have the right to come back to us. That's what we've heard from the director this evening, and I will take him at his word that he didn't know until 6 months ago that he could do that, so he has every right to be here and to come before this commission and ask what he's asking. Secondly, it's been said that he needs to abide by the ordinance, and with the original 03 City Council decision, he is abiding by the ordinance. What we're questioning is how, you know, stiff should that ordinance be? How many of these conditions of approval are going to be put on him? So he is abiding by the ordinance. To say that, you know, he's asking for different rules than someone else is asking for. No, he's not. He's following the rules in meeting conditions of approval. The question is how many conditions. And secondly, we're to sit here and say that we as a Planning Commission that we're treading on difficult terrain to go back and revise or to reverse a decision by the Planning Commission of 3 years ago. Well, it could be said that the Planning Commission in 06 did the same thing to the City Council decision in 03. And there was, as we've been told tonight, there were no new facts in 06 that prompted the adding of the $18,000 in fees. And so I respectfully disagree with my colleague in the views put forward.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes, I would like to reiterate that the only decision that we're upholding is the decision of the City Council. The City Council has a right to change whatever we recommend to the City Council. We only recommend. We can't mandate. We can't adopt a new law. We can't change an existing law. The only thing we can do is recommend. We recommended to the city council. The council changed it. They changed it. They took the fees out, and I'm saying we should uphold their decision. Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yeah, Director Frace, a question on that. When the city council, they're the ones that imposed that retaining wall, that extension of that retaining wall for Mr. Mester to construct in 03?
Yeah, that was one of the requirements of their approval, was that retaining wall.
So he had to build the retaining wall along with creating the conservation easement?
Correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes. I'm inclined to recommend that the fee be waived. And basically, it's an issue of fairness, I think. And this is something the city has been fighting for years, to have an element of fairness when homeowners, builders, whoever, come before the city to invest money at risk and to do things. They should be treated fairly. And I think that's the issue here. I don't think this is an issue like some that come up in Superior Court. We do have, as my colleague said, the authority and I think the responsibility to act on this. And I think each issue has to be taken on its own. I've given this a lot of thought. And I think that in the interest of fairness, and also, as my colleague said, that the city council, that's what I'm persuaded by, set this thing up, and the builder, in good faith, went along with it. So for those reasons, I think the fee should be waived.
Okay. I think everyone, with the possible exception of Commissioner Schmidt, has... Okay, you've already had your say. Okay, then I'm going to make a couple of comments before we go on. I've been here now in the trees, and the trees are a big part of it because they add to the ambiance, they add to the greening of our area. They just make it a Tascadero. And I think when somebody steps up, as Commissioner Benz indicated, and is willing to commit 1 1/3 acres that at that time was a significant value by comparison to $18,000, I start to think of the what's gone through, and I went back through and waited for 4 hours through all of the files and all of the hearings and all of the emails, all of the letters that went back and forth. And in support of the city council, which again is the elected body, and we are appointed by that elected body to function in a manner that is representative of the majority of the people of the city of Atascadero. One thing that hasn't been mentioned here is the fact that as a colony lot, everyone has a right to build according to the original colony lot. And so even though there was a large forest there that was impacted, there were 6 colony lots that were carved out by E.G. Lewis and that had the right to be developed. And in order to do that, it was necessary to remove some trees. Unfortunately, there were some very large trees that had to be removed. That's something beyond our control, really. And in keeping with the law, which applies to those colony lots, he had the right to build on those, and unfortunately, trees came down. the positive side of that is now that the community and, you know, I needs to continue to tend to their oaks and add oaks wherever they can, because there are occasions when, such as this particular instance, a lot of oaks have to come down. If all of us do our little part, eventually it becomes a big part. And I am inclined to support the original city council decision, because it was only an oversight that he, the applicant, couldn't continue on because he forgot to add the time extension. So I don't think he should be penalized to the extent that of the additional $18,000 for that. So if we're done,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move we approve the request to remove the tree impact fee and adopt resolution number PC 2009-0031-A.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Benz, seconded by Vice Chair Moreno. Could I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
You know, I'm bothered by a little bit of discussion that occurred, and it came from the public, and it dealt with the removal of the trees and the detriment that some of the people expressed, and some of the commissioners have talked about there being their colony lots that could have been developed. So the idea that some trees have been removed and it's more airy than it was before, or we have more noise from the freeway, or those type of things, that condition would occur today if those lots were developed. And then to, it seemed like it was suggested that the ordinance, or this portion of the ordinance, was written to somehow punish people or to make them think twice about what they're doing. I don't think that's what the ordinance is about at all. And it seemed to be suggested that way. I'm also somewhat surprised by the lack of factual support for the decision that was made in 2006, and I do believe for myself if there would have been some type of finding that was made and written in there, or again if the commission would have reopened up the EIR or the neg deck and inserted this into that document, then it would be easier for me to understand why it was included. And there would be reasons, there'd be rationale, there'd be statements of fact. And, you know, talking to Commissioner Cole, the statutes in which we work under allow for you to bring these things back and to have them reconsidered, and that's what Mr. Messner has done. Because there isn't, for me, any support for why the condition was placed, I cannot support retaining it, and I support the motion that was made.
Okay, Commissioner Colamarino?
I'm not going to filibuster. No.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
And Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Community Development Staff Report.
No. We don't have any tonight.
Okay. Commissioner comments and reports. Commissioner Schmidt.
It's not my garden. It's nothing like that. No. tonight, I was the board of directors of the water company. Has held a hearing, and I had made a request about the reduction of the connection fees for the water. The meeting was started at 6:30, and that's why I couldn't attend. Hopefully, they'll come to a good conclusion. They were recommending a 35% reduction in the fee, which would have brings the amount from 19.6 down to 12.750, I think, or 12.740. And so it's a pretty good chunk, not as much as I'd like to see. But I also, at the same time, I was looking at the city's development impact fee program, or the capital improvement fee program. And I was looking at the TASOG study, and from what I've been able to read so far, to me there is, although the fee applies to secondary homes, they've been accepted through the ordinance, the TASOG study doesn't seem, there isn't a nexus report in that document that applies to a secondary home. So I'm wondering if the city should not revisit that fee on secondary homes, and at least consider what the water company is going to do is reduce it by 35%. And so I would encourage the commission and staff to bring that forward to the city council and see if there's interest in reconsidering.
It's in draft format. Okay. We're waiting for HCD certification before we move forward on that officially. But we do see that as a work program, and we're very happy to see the water company being so proactive with their action. And definitely the points that Commissioner Schmidt brought up are points that staff's aware of, and we will be looking into that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, we've closed public comment. I'll be happy to talk to you as soon as I adjourn, which will be in just a few minutes. Okay. Could I have the director's report, please?
Yes. Your next Planning Commission meeting is on November 3rd. Right now we have a single item, which is a use permit for a parking lot expansion at a church. So that's up. We've also received an application for a use permit for a second theater downtown across from the Sunken Garden. So that use permit's in right now. It's in its first review phase right now, so staff's working on that. We expect to probably be meeting with the applicant next week to discuss any additional information we might need on that project. So that's moving ahead. And then the Rite Aid project that was approved by the commission about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that was on hold for a while because of some financial issues with the Rite Aid Corporation. That is now moving forward. We're working with the architect and the engineer. We expect them to pull that permit probably this week and start construction in November. So very excited about that project. That'll be a nice economic development project for us. We also expect a groundbreaking on the Colony Square Theater project within the next week or so. So we'll be notifying the commission of that event as that moves forward. And then also with the H1N1 flu that's going around, the city is taking precautions to protect our staff and the public against that. We're rolling out a program basically for adopting a series of protocols for protective measures and things like that. So as you come into City Hall, you'll start to see things in the next couple days or so, or next week, in terms of things that we'll be doing. We'll be getting that information out to the Planning Commission just so you kind of are aware of the things that staff's going to be doing to deal with us over the winter months. That concludes staff's report.
Thank you. A quick question relative to the application for the second theater complex.
To the Planning Commission. I think it's a fairly straightforward project, but there is some additional information that we're going to need that they'll have to respond to, and that'll probably be the determining factors, how long that takes.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that...